I appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Mace already changed the name.
Sliwa After Dark.
Yeah, Mace already changed it. So we got to change all the promos, Mace.
Yes.
Got to change those right now. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the night before the NBA trade deadline ends, and obviously a lot of things cooking. So we'll keep you guys posted on all that as the show progresses. I do want to start with this. There were some reports a little bit earlier. Ann Bagley, who covers the Knicks, the Nets, for SN New York, is going to be hopping on in the 7 o'clock hour. And he's got as good of a pulse in New York media as you possibly can have. So it's good to talk about Marcus Morris. That's a conversation I definitely want to have. Brad Turner, who covers obviously the Lakers, the Clippers for the LA Times. We'll talk about the competition these two franchises are having right now, going over the same players. And then we'll talk about everything. Listen, this show, this is the beauty, and I'm obviously very appreciative to have my own show on here on 710 ESPN. I've been doing the Lakers talk, the pre and post and all that stuff, but talk a little bit about everything. Anything local you guys want to hit on, of course, the Dodgers, Mookie Betts, that deal that went down yesterday. Happy to get into all that. First thing I want to do is this. The conversation about trading Kyle Kuzma and the NBA trade deadline. This is a question that I want to propose to listeners out there. Do you feel right now the team that the Lakers have, they're the front runner? Do you feel like versus the Clippers, versus the Milwaukee Bucks, versus the Boston Celtics, versus that Miami Heat team that just got Andre Iguodala, and Jesse, you can keep me posted as things kind of progress there if this Gallinari thing goes down and everything else. Do you think the Lakers right now are the favorite to win an NBA championship versus all those teams? If you don't think they're a favorite to win the NBA championship, I'm having a hard time understanding when there's fans out there saying, no, 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 hold on to Kyle Kuzma. Hold on to him. This is an asset that you have. Make sure that you're thinking a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the line. I just want to give you guys, you know, my thoughts on this is very simple. And there are reports that the Lakers and the Clippers were looking at potential trade offers for Marcus Morris of the New York Knicks. So I want to stay just right here on Marcus Morris real quick. If you don't think you're the team that's got a shot, you're the lead runner to win an NBA championship right now, of course you got to look at every deal before that trade deadline closes at noon tomorrow Pacific time. Of course you do. If you don't think right now you got a better squad than the Los Angeles Clippers, look at every asset that you have. LeBron James is 35 years old. This is a conversation that we've been having on this station for a very long time. We know how old he is. We know what the window is for the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm not thinking about next year. I'm not. I'm not thinking about 2 years from now. I'm not. I'm thinking about right now. And if there's a trade out there that brings Marcus Morris to the Los Angeles Lakers, and if that includes Kyle Kuzma, and if that includes Danny Green, or whatever combination that you have to do to bring a guy like Marcus Morris out here, here's the question you have to ask yourself. Does that deal then make the Los Angeles Lakers, does that give them a better shot at an NBA championship than the roster that they have right now? If you ask me, yes. I believe Marcus Morris on the Los Angeles Lakers makes this Lakers team gives them a better shot at the Los Angeles Clippers, who the Lakers are 0-2 against right now, which that team right now is completely built off of wings. The Kawhi Leonards, the Paul Georges, those two names obviously being the big names. The strength for the Lakers right now is their bigs and their guards. And when I say strength to the guards, as in we have depth in guards, there is no, I know everybody's been looking for, okay, can Darren Collison come? Should the Lakers trade for Derrick Rose? Their true strength is their size. What they don't have is a wing. What they don't have is that player like Marcus Morris, which is a lot of the conversation why the Lakers wanted to have a shot at Andre Iguodala, because we all know that's where we're weakest. That to match up against the Los Angeles Clippers, that's the type of player that you have to have. That's the type of player that you need to potentially win an NBA championship or come out of the Western Conference. I went to Twitter a little bit earlier, and I proposed a question. So earlier in the day, I'm opening this up right now, and I want to read off some of the tweets that I got. Earlier in the day, There was a report by Brad Turner. Like I mentioned, he'll hop on in the 8 o'clock hour. Lakers, Clippers in trade conversations about Knicks Marcus Morris. New York interested in Kyle Kuzma. Would need Danny Green's contract to make it work. By the way, you can make it work with other contracts as well. New York would want to move Green to another team. Clippers willing to part with Mo Harkless, but Landry Shamet is who New York wants. So that kind of gives you a little bit of background there. I don't know what's going to happen with Landry Shamet. But I will say this. If there's an arms race right now between the Lakers and the Clippers to try and land Marcus Morris, personally for me, I don't want Marcus Morris on the Los Angeles Clippers. And actually paying less attention to the fact that the Clippers have a shot at Marcus Morris. I just want Marcus Morris on the Lakers. I feel like the Lakers need him much more than the Clippers need him. And if that takes you giving up Kyle Kuzma, and I know it's an expiring contract that Marcus Morris has, I think that gives us a better chance to win an NBA championship. Do you think the Lakers would stop at Kyle Kuzma to increase their chances at an NBA championship? I don't think they would. Why would they stop at Kyle Kuzma? When I heard it, and by the way, I feel like that was the conversation a lot today. I heard a lot of people say, no, hold off. Don't trade Kyle Kuzma. My problem with that, and I'm not saying give Kyle Kuzma up for nothing. What I'm saying is, if you have to put Kyle Kuzma in a deal to go get a player like Marcus Morris, how do you not do it? Doesn't that make you automatically a better team? Doesn't that give you a much bigger threat of getting out of the Western Conference than if you didn't do that deal? And if there's one thing we've seen with the Los Angeles Lakers over the last couple years, they are not worried about tomorrow. They're trying to win today. You already gave up Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Ivica Zubac, D'Angelo Russell you traded, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr., Julius Randle you let walk. I mean, you've given up every young asset you have. You think they're going to stop at Kyle Kuzma? I guess the question more comes down to this. Do you think if the Lakers had Marcus Morris on this team, you got a better shot at winning an NBA championship? Do you think then the Western Conference runs through the Los Angeles Lakers? Because if you think that, then you got 12 hours or 15 hours or whatever the case is. It's noon tomorrow that the trade deadline ends. Then that's something that you got to figure out in this short window. And think of this. Covington is gone. He's with the Houston Rockets. Andre Iguodala, he just signed a two-year, $30 million deal with the Miami Heat as part of a trade. And we'll get some more details on that coming from Adrian Wojnarowski and Sham Sharani that put that tweet out a little bit earlier. But you put all those, you factor all those into factor all those elements into it, the players that were just shipped off, Marcus Morris' value comes even higher now. I do want to hear from Laker fans. Do you want to see the Lakers go after Marcus Morris? Do you think the Lakers, if they got Marcus Morris, it puts them in a better position to win a championship this year? I'm only talking about this year. I can't talk past that because the Lakers have obviously kind of built this roster about trying to win right now. They're not thinking about tomorrow. They're not thinking a year from now, 2 years from now. Of course they are, but I'm saying that you have to give yourself the best position to win this year because you know LBJ's 35. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. We'll take some of your guys' phone calls as we come back. I do want to get your guys' thoughts. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. I appreciate you guys tuning in. All right, so real quick on this. This is what happened. Earlier today, I'm watching TV. I'm listening to sports talk radio. A lot of conversations. Obviously, chatter around the Los Angeles Lakers. And the chatter that I'm hearing about Kyle Kuzma is, look, you got to hold on to this guy. You got to think past this year. You got to do what you can to see if you can get either grow him together with Anthony Davis or see if you can get more assets in the offseason, whatever the case is. So that's a conversation going on. And I'm not sitting here telling you that Kyle Kuzma doesn't have value. I know he has value. The dude's 24 years old. He can shoot 18 to 22 footers. He can instantly get buckets. He's working on his game, his dribble. He's got the ability to grab a rebound and go full court, but he's still very raw. It's going to take him a couple years to become, you know, obviously a more consistent player in this league. So I'm not downplaying that Kyle Kuzma is not an asset. But what I'm telling you is, I look at this Lakers team right now, it worries me to go up against the Los Angeles Clippers in a 7-game set. Plus, you know, the Clippers aren't just going to sit around. That conversation about Clippers going after Andre Iguodala, obviously that didn't happen. Lakers were trying to go after Andre Iguodala. That didn't happen. They're not going to sit back and do nothing. It's an arms race. That's the best way to put it. It's an arms race right now between the Lakers and the Clippers. I think Marcus Morris is better suited for the Los Angeles Lakers today. That doesn't mean Marcus Morris is going to have a better career than Kyle Kuzma. But I feel where the Lakers are today, and if you look at their strengths, you look at their weaknesses, that fills a void for the Lakers that we just don't have right now. And that also fills a void when you go up against the Los Angeles Clippers. You want Marcus Morris going up against Kawhi Leonard, or Marcus Morris going up against Paul George, or do you want Kyle Kuzma? I know that answer. I don't have to ask it. Again, this isn't a knock on Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma's 24 years old. In 2 to 3 years from now, Kuzma's going to be a different type of player. But in life, it's not just about the player. It's about the timing. I would feel more comfortable if Marcus Morris was on this team. There was a name earlier thrown out. Brad Turner threw this name out, and it doesn't have to be this name. But let's just say, hypothetically, it was Kyle Kuzma and Danny Green to make the dollars work for Marcus Morris. I put out a tweet. I asked listeners out there. I'd say probably 90% of Laker fans were saying absolutely not. If there's one thing that the Lakers have on this team, it's guards. KCP, by the way, averaging more points right now than Danny Green this year. I've done a lot of post-game shows. I'm as interactive with as interactive as I can be with a lot of our listeners when it comes to social media, everything else. You know what a lot of people said about Danny Green? By the way, I like Danny Green. A lot of people like Danny Green. His personality is fantastic. He's a veteran. He's been in the league for a while. He's a champion. He's all of that. But he's also overpaid. His contract at 2 years, $30 million, I don't think he's lived up so far to the 2 years, $30 million. That's $15 million a year. I don't think that's me going out on the limb by saying that. I think that's the reality. Averaging under 9 points a game. Marcus Morris contract, it expires at the end of this year. So you're only getting Marcus Morris for a rental. If you had Marcus Morris here, hypothetically, for Kuzma and Danny Green, okay, Morris now comes in, he fills that wing void. Whatever you lost from Danny Green, which you do lose something, you still got Alex Caruso, you still got KCP, you still got Troy Daniels, Quinn Cook obviously plays the point guard position, you have guards. Okay, you're also going to look at the buyout market. In the buyout market, Lakers are going to go after a guy like Darren Collison. I think that wing player is so much more important than that prospect of Kyle Kuzma. I think that wing player is so much more important against the Los Angeles Clippers than another guard. That's my personal opinion there. And I will say, look, a lot of the responses on here were no, absolutely not. You can't do that. All I'm looking at is this season. That's it. I'm not looking at anything else. And if the Lakers make a championship run and it's with Marcus Morris and it happens or it doesn't happen, and then that money comes off the books, okay, so you have $15 more million dollars to go into the offseason with and see what kind of veteran that you can go get to fill in that void. All right, let's hear from Laker fans. I don't think, by the way, this is a popular opinion, Jesse. I don't. But I'm just looking at this year. That's it.
That's what everyone should do.
It depends where you're at, right? Like the Lakers 2 years ago when they were rebuilding, it was okay to look big picture. But the moment you got LBJ, obviously everything changed.
All that changed.
And by the way, the Lakers, everything they've done since they got LeBron James, they have shown they're worried about today. They can't worry about tomorrow. LeBron's not 28.
No, they're win now mode, and that's how it should be.
But I will say this. I will say that the Kuz, Danny Green, something like that, I think it hits people with how dare you, you know? Like, I think that happens where some Laker fans would think, you're absolutely crazy. I value Marcus Morris. I really do. I really think he would be a fantastic fit for the Lakers, and I do feel like that's their void. That's what they're missing. Let's hear from some Laker fans real quick. Colin in Chino Hills, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Colin.
How's it going, man?
Good, man. Thank you.
To be honest with you, imagine putting Kuz in New York and giving him Marcus Morris's role. Mm-hmm. What would he do then?
So I think he'd thrive. I think he'd thrive. And here's the thing, Colin. I'm not saying that Kuzma's not talented. I'm not saying Kuzma can't give you 20, 22 points a night. But where the Lakers are today, it's not about one individual thriving. It's about the pieces fitting so you got a better shot at a championship this year. You know what I'm saying?
Correct. But who's getting hotter in a playoff game, Marcus Morris or Kyle Kuzma, when AD and LeBron are already, you know, they're 10 minutes up from their averages. They're playing 40 minutes a game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so then you have Kuzma in instead of Morris. Who is going off? Who's taking over at points when, you know, I don't think it's even comparison who's more skilled.
So let me say this, Colin, and I appreciate you calling in. My worry with Kyle Kuzma is not giving you 15 points a game, which, by the way, he's not consistent this year. And part of that has to do with the role that he's in. The role that he's in, it's kind of back and forth. Okay, how's he going to score when AD's getting the rock a lot? How's he going to score when LBJ and Anthony Davis are on the floor together? I'm not saying bring Marcus Morris in because you need 20 points a game. I'm saying you bring Marcus Morris because you need a player to go defend Paul George, go defend Kawhi Leonard, and can hit that open three, and has been in the NBA for a long time, is a vet that's kind of that gritty player, that player that we said we don't have on this roster right now. Who's that tough guy for the Lakers? We don't have one. I want to make sure when I say, I don't want it to be confused with I don't think Kuzma's talented, but it's the timing and what is that fit for the team that you have right now. More of your phone calls coming up next. This is a Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Ann Bagley from SNY coming up at 7:30. Brad Turner from the LA Times at 8 o'clock. So we'll continue on this NBA stuff. Of course, we'll get into Dodgers baseball in a little bit as well after yesterday's trade for Mookie Betts. But I got to stay on this Lakers stuff. I got to stay on this Lakers stuff too because NBA trade deadline is tomorrow. You know, I've mentioned this a couple different times, and this was a few weeks back. What happened in the last week and a half changed everything. And you know, for me on a personal level, I wasn't watching much basketball, you know, after that helicopter crash. So this is really just kind of getting back into the swing of things here for the last couple of days. But I'll say this. When we have the conversation, I had a listener call in just a few minutes ago before we went to break. This isn't a one-on-one matchup, Kuzma versus Marcus Morris. I want you guys to know I'm not sitting here saying that one player is more skilled than the other, or by the time Kuzma gets to 28 years old, he's not going to be better than Marcus Morris. That's not what I'm talking about. The conversation I'm saying is, what do the Lakers need right now to win an NBA championship? What fits? What puzzle pieces fit? There were players that were better than Robert Horry back in the day, but Horry was a good fit. There were players that were better than Lamar Odom, but Odom was a perfect fit. Using that as examples, right? The Derek Fishers, the Metal World pieces, the Trevor Ariza's. Championship teams have this puzzle piece that you're trying to fit together. And for the Lakers right now, I feel like there's a piece missing. And, you know, we played the Knicks, I think a month ago or so, something along those lines. One of the games Marcus Morris played, another one he didn't play. I think the one here at Staples Center he didn't play. But that's been one of those names, the Robert Covingtons, who is now with the Houston Rockets. The Andre Iguodalas, that size player, that's what we've been describing for the Lakers. This is what you need. And I'm not one to stop after all the assets that the Lakers have traded over the last 2 years. I can name 10 assets that the Lakers traded. Those are players and then draft picks and everything else. I'm not one to stop now and say, okay, well, hold up now. Hold up. Now it's Kyle Kuzma. This is different. It's not different. If you can increase your chances of winning a championship this year, you do it. And that's not to say that the Lakers are going to you know, put together a deal with the Knicks. That's not to say the Knicks even want what the Lakers are offering. And maybe the Lakers feel the same way probably a lot of listeners do. No, I don't want to take a shot and trade away Kyle Kuzma for a rental and Marcus Morris. All right, more of you guys' phone calls. Mike in Panorama City, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Alan, thanks for taking my call, and congratulations on the show, man. I'm really happy to see that you got your own. But look, I'm completely against trading Kuzma if it's for a role player that's over 30, may marginally improve our chances of winning, because he's still got a lot left. Yes, it's his third year. He's going to be inconsistent, but we've already seen progress in his game. He's added that mid-range jump shot, that elbow jumper that he's been working with Phil Handy on. We've seen him incorporated to the game. And his inconsistency really comes because there's nobody on the second unit to get him shots. And Kuzma is the type of player that you need to create shots for, and he's not really going to go one-on-one and create his own shot. It's going to come within the flow of the offense. And he just hasn't meshed well with Rondo in that aspect.
And nobody has. I mean, Rondo struggled. So I think sometimes I feel bad for him in that, you know, in that role and in that spot. But, Mike, this is what I'll ask you. I'll ask you, do you think the Lakers as is, and if you think they're fine, that's okay too, as is, you think they are the team to beat right now in the NBA? And you can make that case. They got the best record in the Western Conference. Do you think they're the team to beat in the NBA? And if you feel like they are, then maybe you don't make a deal. I just am not that comfortable to say everyone's running through the Lakers in the league.
I feel like with the current roster, they have the potential to be the championship team that we want them to be. But I think there's just a couple elements that they're missing, that they're missing some toughness, where if teams are getting physical with us, seems like JaVale McGee gets a little bit shelled. Seems like AD doesn't really like the physicality either, and LeBron really can't handle an athletic perimeter guy. But in that same sense, adding a player like a Marcus Morris is increases our chances a little bit, but I'm not willing to mortgage Kuzma's future, because I think if you're able to add a playmaking point guard to that second unit, it's going to make him, one, more consistent.
What if you get both? What if you got, for example, what if you traded for Morris and then you got Darren Collison in the buyout market? Do you think that team then, that's the team to go through in the Western Conference?
That definitely puts us in a better position. It does, but I still don't think it guarantees us a championship, and that's where I'm having a lot of a hard time with. If Marcus Morris was a 26, 27-year-old where, you know, we're going to keep him for a few years and he's going to be a solid role player for us, you know, I would say pull the trigger. But, you know, he's going to be potentially a one-year rental, and I don't think I'm ready to give up Kuzma for that. But if we're able to get a player like a Spencer Dinwiddie for Kyle Kuzma, that one they should pull the trigger for sure. Obviously, the salaries don't match, but that's the type of player I think that you should give up Kuzma for, as opposed to somebody that who can increase your benefit your team marginally and maybe win a championship, as opposed to a player that, you know, you can have build with your team next couple of years and at the same time increase your chances at winning a championship.
Mike, appreciate you calling in, man. Thank you for calling. Mike, relax on your points, all right? You made a couple good points there. It makes me look bad, all right? Take a step back for a second. Listen, Mike, one of the things he said was, the Lakers don't have this toughness. I agree. And I feel like Marcus Morris is the guy that fills that void. Listen, it's interesting to see what happens in the next 17 hours. 17 hours, trade deadline obviously ends. So that's what the Lakers are kind of up against. And can the Lakers win a championship right now as is? They can. I'm not telling you that they can't. But it does kind of leave a bad taste in my mouth that we're 0-2 against the Clippers, and I know what the Clippers' strengths are. You know, we talk about small lineup for the Lakers. We talk about that small lineup. I'll take my chances. AD, Marcus Morris, LeBron James, and then whoever you want to put in your backcourt. If Darren Collison's there, if Avery Bradley is there, if KCP is there, whatever the case is. I think there is a certain toughness that we lack, and I feel like he fills that void. All right, more of your guys' phone calls. Ben in Westwood. Ben, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, I just wanted to say a couple of things. First of all, I agree with you that trading Kuzma right now might be the best move just so that we can get that final piece we need.
And Ben, they've traded everybody. Like, to stop at Kuz, and this is no knock to Kuz, but
I agree with you.
Think about it. For two plus years, all we've done is draft and trade. You know what I mean?
So it's not like it should
stop on Kuz.
I agree with you. And on top of that, you just look at, forget about, you know, the points and the stuff, because all of that's inflated because he's playing big minutes. Marcus Morris is playing big minutes in New York.
Right.
But just look at, like, the three-point percentage, stuff like that. Like, that's, he's, I think he's shooting, like, 43, 44% from behind the arc. Is like nine percentage points better than Kuzma. So I agree with you that making that kind of a trade is a good idea. The one reservation I have is just in terms of the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to send Danny Green to make the salaries work. We just need to send, I believe it's like $5 million less than whatever Marcus Morris is making, and he's making 15. So if we just get to $10 million with Kuz as, like, he's like making 1.8, so we can send, like,
there's other names. Yeah, there's other names you could put. I know Brad Turner, when he sent that tweet out, Brad Turner from the LA Times, I know he mentioned Danny Green, but immediately people were responding back saying, well, it doesn't have to be Danny Green. It could be other players.
Yeah, so my question to you was basically, do you think that we could package Kuz, Quinn Cook, maybe DeMarcus Cousins, possibly somebody else, and try to get some of those smaller players, some of those smaller salaries to get up to $10 million? Rather than trading one of our core guys. And I think, honestly, I think Danny Green's going to be big in the playoffs. I think his value is understated right now. But I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. I'll say this about Danny Green. Look, Green, I thought Danny Green was going to be better than he has been so far this year. That's the honest truth. I really did. I felt like, okay, Danny Green's coming in, 2 years, $15 million. I've actually protected him a lot. I've said, well, his real value is going to come in the playoffs. He's going to win you a playoff game, you know, in a game three best of seven series. He's going to hit 4 3-pointers in the second half and some clutch shots, and that's going to be, that could be the difference of the series. So I'm not targeting Danny Green to say, okay, Danny Green's got to be the one to go. But I'm saying, even if it is Danny Green, I'm not going to not consider it. Any of those role players, I like them. Lakers have a lot of guards. KCP is averaging more points right now than Danny Green per game. KCP has been more consistent than Danny Green this year. He has been. KCP maybe doesn't have a 25-point game like Danny Green has had a couple times this year. But I'll tell you one thing KCP does. After those first couple weeks of the season, I have not mentioned KCP in a negative light in a really long time. KCP has been great. I'm just using KCP as an example because those are two players that primarily play the number two spot, that two position. Tony and Bellflower, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Tony.
Yes, my friend. I got to tell you, you know what, I agree. I love your show, first of all, and I agree most of the things you say.
You hate
this
one.
One, just
you
like all the other fans, I have to say no way.
Okay, what don't you like? Tell me what you don't like.
Okay, I have two great points. This is my first point. You got to let me get to my second point. This is my first point.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James is 37 years old.
35.
Okay, 35 years old. Okay, we'll give him that. 35 years old. Really soon, he can have a season-ending injury this year or next year. I guarantee it is coming. So
okay,
that's
not a good start. Maybe we can't predict that. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, I know what you're saying. He puts in a lot of minutes, 17th year, but we can't predict that.
Well, that age thing is right there. He's right on that border. Okay, so here's the thing. What's going to happen? Mark Morris, on a one-year contract, he's going to leave,
mm-hmm.
especially if LeBron James is going to be finished. Just like unexpectedly last year, how he got injured throughout the whole season. Put it this way. Mark Morris, and he's going to leave. Anthony Davis, he's going to say, I'm not going to stay with LeBron James. Andrew is just gone. He's going to leave.
Kyle Kuzma is going to be the glue that keeps everything together?
Well, put it this way. This is what's going to happen. Anthony Davis is going to go, whether we have Kyle Kuzma or not. The bottom line is, if we don't win a championship this year, there's a high risk. There is such a high risk that we will not win next year with LeBron James getting older or getting injured and then people becoming unhappy and wanting to leave.
So, Tony, can I ask you a question? With you,
ahead.
Setting it up that way, right?
Yes.
Then doesn't that give you more reason to make sure you do everything you possibly can to give yourself the greatest chance of winning a championship this year, based on everything you just said?
That is an excellent question, because that brings to my second point, and then I'll let you guys go off the air. That brings to my second point. If we're going to give it our best chance to bring in Mark Morris and get rid of Kyle Kuzma, and let's just say that we also give him, who did you say from the bench? Who did you mention from the bench?
Danny Green was mentioned.
Danny Green, I'm sorry, Danny Green. We already don't even have a bench.
Danny Green's starting, so he's in the starting line.
Well, he's starting, okay. Well, to even go that far, let's just say we even give him Danny Green. And let's just say that, again, we don't win. And even if we do win one championship, it brings to my second point, we are going to be left with the LeBron James withdrawal symptoms, just like the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Miami Heat. Look at what happened to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Tony, I'm going to respond. All right, I appreciate you calling in. You had a lot of points there. He said, this is my second point. He had 3 points after that. I'm really not worried about 2 years from now. I'm not. You win an NBA championship this year, or you put yourself in the best position possible to win an NBA championship this year, everything else is going to figure itself out. I don't know what Anthony Davis is going to do. You could say LeBron James is coming towards the end of his career. I saw 36 points last night. I saw 6 of 9 from the three-point line. I see him with averaging the most assists in the NBA right now, with 7-8 rebounds on top of that per game. I don't see what you see. We see things completely different. Kuzma is a good player. Kuzma can thrive on another team, especially if he's got putting up 20, 25 shots a game. Kuzma, by the time he's 28, 29 years old, who knows, is perfect for a team like this. What scares me with this Lakers team is you've given up a lot of young assets to get to this point. You got the best record in the Western Conference right now. If you got a shot to be the team to beat in the NBA or the team to beat in the Western Conference, you can't stop now. You can't. More of your phone calls when we come back. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, we'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Appreciate everybody tuning into the broadcast. Don't forget tomorrow morning, of course, we start live and local again, 6 a.m. with Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. Lamont, you're on 710 ESPN. Lamont, what do you think? We're talking Kuzma. We're talking the NBA trade deadline. What's your thoughts?
My thoughts are I think the Lakers would probably get a better deal from Chicago. I think Chicago would give them Thaddeus Young and a first round pick, which would be a high first round pick, and they would take care of two things, giving away Kuzma, but the potential to get a very good young player back. Or my second choice would be go after Derrick Rose, because that would be somebody that could take over a game in case something happens to LeBron. It foul trouble, God forsaken, any type of pull hamstring or anything.
Something happens to LeBron. I mean, you know, it's the equivalent of any player, their star player on another team. You know, it's a wrap. And that's just how valuable, obviously, LeBron is. The Thaddeus Young thing, you know, I don't think that's a better fit than Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris is a much better shooter than Thaddeus Young. Maybe Thaddeus Young's a good defender, but Morris is on both. So is Marcus Morris.
He's on expiring contract.
Yeah, Marcus Morris is as well.
Okay. Now look at Toronto, right? When you say LeBron is everything, right? Kawhi Leonard is not on Toronto anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And look at how their team is performing, because they got a lot of young players. Toronto.
Marc Gasol, Pascal Siakam, Kyle Lowry, these are not young players.
Siakam is a young player.
Van Fleet is, yeah, he's young. But what are you trying to say? You're saying Siakam and Van Fleet are going to win without Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka?
I'm saying they're winning without Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
They're winning without Kawhi Leonard. If LeBron goes down, you take LeBron off the Lakers, and I guarantee you it won't be just the wing player that they're missing. Here's the thing.
Here's the difference. The difference is right now this team is completely built around LeBron James. To be honest with you, Lamont, I don't know the case that you're making. I don't understand the angle we're taking here. The Lakers are built around LeBron. Your point about Thaddeus Young? No, I'm good on Thaddeus Young. I mentioned if Kyle Kuzma goes into a deal right now with what's left, what's available, and Jesse, you keep us posted if anything goes on Twitter. For what's available, I like Marcus Morris. I think Marcus Morris is a perfect fit for the Lakers. Mark in Long Beach, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Mark.
I think my biggest holdup is not, it has nothing to do with trading away Kuzma and his potential. I mean, if anything, he keeps playing like this, his value is probably going to go down in the next year or so. It's really, Danny Green's a better defender for the way that this team plays defense. And that's what I think we're going to need going up against, you know, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. You don't want LeBron taxing himself, you know, all the way on defense. You need somebody who can really defend well.
And that's the Marcus Morris part that I'm talking about. Because Marcus Morris, the exact reason why I mentioned Marcus Morris is the point that you just made. I feel like we got wings, Mark. I mean, if you look at, we don't got wings. We got guards, we don't have wings. Think about all the guards we have. And I'm not saying get rid of Danny Green. I'm just saying, to me, none of these guards on this team would stop me from going after Marcus Morris. That's my personal opinion, right? You have KCP. You have Alex Caruso. You have Troy Daniels. You have Quinn Cook. You have Rajon Rondo. They're all kind of, you know, none of these players stand out like they are all-star caliber or anything like that. I feel like we've got plenty of those. What we don't have is wings. We don't have enough wings. And that's my worry against the Clippers.
Well, I mean, Kuzma's that wing on offense. I mean, like him and Marcus Morris are both, you know, 6'8", 220 guys offensively. And Danny Green is, you know, Danny Green was checking LeBron, you know, a few years ago. I'm not saying like he was stopping him, and obviously, you know, LeBron's still doing his thing. But Danny Green playing defense on Paul George or Kawhi is what it's going to be like. Like, Marcus Morris's defense has been pretty suspect this year, and that's on a bad team. So, you know, kind of fitting in with the way that the Lakers play defense, especially help defense, you know, I think Danny Green's really that better fit. Now, if you could get away with doing like Kuzma and Avery Bradley or something like that, like giving up like a true guard who's not going to check Paul George or Kawhi, then I think it makes more sense, or it's, you know, a little bit more of a toss-up, and I'll go on the side of, hey, you know, go for the proven vet versus the inconsistent young guy.
Mark, appreciate you calling in. I don't know. To me, I look, Danny Green's not going to check Paul George. That's not going to happen. Danny Green's not going to check Kawhi Leonard. And I know many players in the league are not going to check either one of those two players. Danny Green's not big enough. He's 6'5". And I'm not here saying it's got to be Danny Green that goes. What I'm saying, that it doesn't matter to me who goes from the guards. If you get another good, solid wing player that can play both ways. Jesse, we got some updates there on the NBA trade deadline front.
Yes, another Woj bomb. Okay. Sacramento is trading Dwayne Dedmon to Atlanta for Jabari Parker and Alex Len. Atlanta also gets 2 second-round picks.
Did we end up getting the details of what that deal was for Iguodala in Miami?
No, the last we got was that Justin Winslow is a part of the package, but I don't think any of the details have been fully released.
Scared
yet.
Me for a second there. When you said Woj bomb and you said Sacramento, I started thinking Bogdanovich. I started thinking, so you put some.
Well, you got to keep it exciting.
Yeah.
And also, an unrelated trade thing. Also, I know I'm looking at Woj's Twitter as as we go.
What does Woj know?
Woj knows a lot, apparently.
He's the best.
He retweeted Tim McMahon, who covers the Rockets for ESPN. Apparently, Kristaps Porzingis might have just broken his nose. Okay. He got elbowed from Josh Jackson, and he went to the locker room with gauze in both his nostrils.
Let me say, I'm happy. Of course, I don't want to see any injury to any player. I'm happy it was just his nose. Like, when you say broke, I was thinking right away, I'm like, oh, gosh, don't tell me it's
broken nose.
Leg,
all he has to do is wear
like
one
that.
Of those Kobe masks.
Wear one of those masks. All right, keep us posted if anything happens there. Jack in L.A., you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, want to thank you so much what you do right off the bat, but also for drilling this wing point home. I feel like a lot of the sportscasters and podcasts I've been listening to have been focused on the guards, but if you look at all the big teams, the championship contenders that we've been losing to not only the Clippers, also the Bucks, mm-hmm. also the Raptors. They all have big wings that we cannot stop. And I have a lot of, you know, hope for Kyle Kuzma. I wish we could keep him, but we need to be focusing on this ship this year. And you're absolutely right. We need to get someone who can stop them.
I don't, by the way, when I talk about the wings, and that's what the league is right now. Right. So there are so many players, and I appreciate you calling in. There's so many players right now that are so talented in this league, and they're wings. They're players that describe kind of that. That's why the Lakers wanted Andre Iguodala. That's why we've been talking about Andre Iguodala for 3-4 months. By the way, give so much credit to the Memphis Grizzlies. We kept saying, oh, just he'll be available in the buyout market. Maybe they won't get a trade for him. They held on to him. Ireland was telling a story with an executive with the Memphis Grizzlies that used to be early on, a part of the Lakers, that they were going to hold on to him, and eventually somebody was going to trade for him. The Miami Heat did, and they ended up with Justice Winslow. Okay, so one player that I think does have a great pulse on what's going on in New York sports, Ann Begley, works for SNY in New York. Let's get the latest from him. Marcus Morris, is that something that's a potential for the Lakers, the Clippers? Why are the Knicks trying to deal him? Who's more interesting to them? Is it Landry Shamet? Is it Kyle Kuzma? We'll see if there's anything more to this. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Ann Begley covers the Knicks, the Nets, and the NBA for SNY. Ann, thanks for taking some time and hopping on the show.
Hey, my pleasure. Happy to be here.
Well, we got some rumors going around. Obviously, NBA trade deadline tomorrow. The New York Knicks, a lot of the conversation about a player that you and I actually talked about a month ago or so when the Lakers played the Knicks. Marcus Morris seems to be a player that some teams have interest in, specifically the Lakers and the Clippers. Would love to just get your thoughts on what some of these the chatter is, and I want to look at it more from a Laker perspective first. What do you think the chances are that Marcus Morris gets moved by the NBA trade deadline, and what kind of player do you think that would be if somehow the Los Angeles Lakers got their hands on him?
I think the chances are pretty strong now that Marcus Morris gets moved. You know, if we were talking a couple of days ago before Knicks president Steve Mills got fired, I was under the impression that the Knicks were more likely to hold on to Morris after the deadline because they loved what he brought on and off the court, and, you know, they felt the need to try to win games as much as possible, and Morris helped them do that. But now that Mills is no longer president of basketball operations, I think the moves that will be made here are with an eye toward the future. So I think they're going to move Morris. They're going to try to get back either picks or young players. And if the Lakers do get Morris, you're going to get a player who's having a career year in terms of shooting from beyond the arc. He's been shooting the ball incredibly well. Very, very, very well respected in that Knick locker room from veterans and young players. And he's a guy who defends well from a team concept and, you know, just as a competitor. So I think the Knicks are going to miss him. I know from a leadership perspective, he called a players-only meeting with the Knicks that really resonated with the group. So I think you're getting a very, very valuable player who's playoff-tested if he does indeed end up with the Lakers.
And how much interest do you think the Knicks have? I've heard a couple names being thrown out. Obviously, the Lakers, one of the young players they have to offer is Kyle Kuzma. For the Clippers, Landry Shamet is a name that's been thrown around. How much interest do you think the Knicks have in either one of those players? And who do you think? I mean, it's ironic in a sense. Here are the Lakers and the Clippers battling for the Western Conference. Lakers and the Clippers battling for the same players. And once we get into the buyout market, I'm sure the Lakers and Clippers are going to be battling over those players that are available as well. Who do you think has the edge here? What are the Knicks looking for? What do you think they value more?
Well, I think they're looking for either young players or draft picks. They don't want a player that is a little bit older and on a long-term contract, expensive contract. They're certainly not looking to give up any picks in a deal. So, you know, I think that when you talk about the Clippers and the Lakers, I don't think the Clippers are going to be willing to give up Landry Shamet for a Marcus Morris. And I think that's going to be potentially a hold up because the Knicks do like Landry Shamet. They do want him back in a deal with the Clippers. I don't think that's going to happen. So then you look at the Lakers, obviously Kyle Kuzma, somebody that I think the Knicks would like to get back in a Morris deal, but it's tough to work out the logistics of a Morris trade to the Lakers for Kuzma. You're going to have to throw a lot of other players in there, so it's more than likely that you're going to need a third team involved there on a Morris deal on a Morris deal sending him to the Lakers. So it's tricky. The math is tricky. The logistics are tricky, but I think it's more likely that he ends up a Laker than a Clipper at this point because of the Shamit aspect with the Clippers.
Ann Begley covers the Knicks, the Nets, and the NBA for SNY in New York. Yeah, it is kind of interesting, Ann, because you know there's certain needs that I think the Lakers have right now. I mean, me from a personal level, I spent most part of the start of my show talking about how I think Marcus Morris would be a perfect fit for the Lakers, and some of these role players that would go, obviously Kyle Kuzma, a very young player, promising player. Lakers are in a win now mode, and there isn't this window of saying, well, what's it going to look like in 2-3 years? I really think the Lakers are just looking at the present. Looking at this Lakers roster, how much of a help do you think Marcus Morris would be if he did end up a Los Angeles Laker and playing a specific role? He's got the green light, obviously, in New York this season, but if he came to the Lakers, you got LeBron James, you got Anthony Davis, you got other role players that know their role. How do you think he would fill in a role for the Lakers?
I think it would be an easy transition for him because he has played that role on different teams throughout his NBA career. He's been a role player, and, you know, really this was the first year where he was the main option. You know, he and Julius Randle were 1 and 1A. As far as offensive options for the Knicks. And I think this is the first time that he had that role in his career. And so I think it would be a pretty seamless transition if he were to go back to being a complimentary piece on offense with the Lakers, you know, especially the way he's been shooting the ball, because he's been shooting the ball incredibly well. And you would think that with LeBron and Anthony Davis and the other Lakers that he would get his fair share of open looks from beyond the arc, and he's been knocking them down. So I think it would be a pretty good fit and not a difficult transition for Morris to go back to being, you know, third, fourth, fifth option on offense.
And as we kind of, I know a lot of chatter has gone around out in New York. I'll just ask you, just because we're on the topic and you have obviously made some time to hop on the show, what do you think happens in New York? Who do you think starts, I guess you can say, stirring the ship again and gets things back on track? Are you confident that whoever comes in can work with Dolan and figure things out in New York? Just get your thoughts on that real quick.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you have confidence in that because you haven't seen it in the past. You haven't seen past results, right? But I think whoever it is, that person has to have full autonomy to hire and fire as they see fit. Once they do get the job and to bring in their own people and to retain Nick people, if that's what they want to do, they need to have full freedom to do that. So that to me, is at the top of the list as far as factors at play here. I think Masai Ujiri, in a perfect world, is the Knicks' next team president. But, you know, there's holdups because Masai is under contract. So, you know, you're going to need compensation, in the form of draft picks, probably to send to the Raptors to get him out from under contract. And then I'm sure he's going to command a significant salary. So, you know, there are big hurdles to be cleared here before Masai Ujiri is the Knicks team president. But I think perfect world, if the circumstances were different, he would be their top target. But because of those hurdles, I think they have, you know, plan Bs in mind, plan Cs in mind, if it doesn't work out with Masai.
And yeah, it's a fluid situation, and I know we'll kind of have our eyes. I'll continue to follow you if Laker fans out there want to follow at Ann Begley for the latest on what happens with the New York Knicks and potentially the Los Angeles Lakers. Trade deadline is tomorrow at noon Pacific. And thanks for taking some time and helping us understand the parameters around potentially getting Marcus Morris and the competition between the Lakers and the Clippers. Thanks for doing this, man.
Hey, Al, my pleasure, man. Take care.
All right, great stuff from Ann right there. We'll have to wait and see. See if anything happens or not. Does this Lakers team, as is, have a chance to win an NBA championship? No question about it, they do. If they add pieces in the buyout market, can they keep the roster that they have and still have a legitimate chance at a chip? No question about it. The argument that I've been trying to make is I feel like we're a piece away. You know, a piece away from saying everybody's got to run through us. As I talk about the Lakers going all in, obviously the Dodgers yesterday pulled off a huge, huge trade. They get former AL MVP Mookie Betts. They get David Price. They tell Boston to pay half of the $96 million still owed for David Price. We'll talk about that coming up next. We'll get into Lakers a little bit later as well. Brad Turner coming up at 8 o'clock. Stay right here. This is 710 ESPN. It's the most anticipated title fight in recent history as undefeated heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder takes on 29-0 Tyson Fury in a rematch that the world has been waiting for. Live on pay-per-view Saturday, February 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern. Oh, Michael Thompson. I know he's looking forward to that show. That's right down MT's alley. All right, so we were talking about the Lakers and how going all in right now. Personally, I feel like that's what the Lakers got to do. I don't know how much more you can go all in if you're the Dodgers. If you're the Dodgers and you win 106 games last year, you've won the NL West. Jesse, how many times? They've won it 7 years in a row?
7 years running.
All right, 7 years in a row, they've obviously dominated the NL West. They go out yesterday and get Mookie Betts. They get David Price. They tell the Boston Red Sox, hey, if you don't mind, can you pay for half of that contract? I mean, granted, we just got arguably the top three player in all the major leagues. And when we get David Price, why don't you front half of that $96 million? I know they lost some pieces as well. Jock Peterson went to the Angels. That was part of a deal that they did separately. Kenta Maeda goes to the Twins. Alex Verdugo goes to the Red Sox. Vertigo. You know, it's like
Vertigo's what you get when you can't pronounce Verdugo.
Yeah. But just kind of, it is interesting because here are the Dodgers, the rich get richer. And here's a franchise that has been so incredibly successful over the last few years. But what they don't have to show for it is a World Series.
You have appearances.
They got appearances.
But we all know that doesn't really matter.
And listen, let me say that there are plenty of teams out there that wish that they had as much success as the Dodgers have had over the last few years. But the bottom line is you haven't won a World Series in 30-plus years. Your fan base is now expecting, okay, well, were we going to get a chip in 2016? Didn't happen. 2017, 2018, like, it's been mounting, too. And then this past year, you're eliminated in the first round, so you don't even get to the World Series or, you know, obviously go as far as you're expected to go. Nationals end up winning the whole thing. What does this regular season even mean this year? What I mean by that is you're already the favorite to win it all in the NL. You're already favorite to win the NL West. You won 106 games last year, so how much does a regular season even matter when you're this much better than everybody else? It all just comes down to the postseason.
Yes, but you're also going to enjoy the ride this regular season. And I'm super excited for this regular season. And this is the first, you know, real season I've been, like, looking forward to. And it's all because Mookie Betts. You know, the past couple of years, we hadn't had a different lineup. For the most part, it's been the same players. And we've tried and tried. And just we haven't gotten over the hump. So now we finally did
something
different. Well,
he's box office, too.
What?
Right? He's box office.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. You kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Look, I mean, you can see even, like, you know, he has this gold chain around that he wears that just looks cool. And you saw him in the World Series when he was here, how, you know, he didn't have a good postseason. But the regular season numbers don't lie. And he's gonna be a player who is going to get hits, going to hit home runs.
He's going to steal bases.
He's a five-tool player. Mm-hmm. It's been so long since the Dodgers have had a true five-tool player like that. Maybe since Matt Kemp, mm-hmm. but even then he had like maybe 2-3 good years and then he just tailed off after that. Mookie Betts, he's going to be doing this kind of stuff years to come, and hopefully it's for the Dodgers.
By the way, you said something there I think that's important too. Kind of enjoying the regular season journey. Right, because it's an exciting brand of baseball, and I know that gets lost, and it probably gets lost for the Dodgers. This happened for the Lakers for a long time. We were spoiled with success.
Oh, were we?
Right, every year it's like, what do you mean we're not competing for an NBA championship? Max Kellerman back in the days used to say stuff when him and Marcellus had a show together. Still, arguably, I think one of my favorite shows on radio ever. But they used to joke around. Max would have been like, do you know right now there are four-year-olds walking around L.A. that have never seen the Lakers, in a parade. I have never seen the Lakers win an NBA championship. We're spoiled as Laker fans, right? And I think actually there's an element to Dodger fans that how long was it under Frank McCourt there wasn't that much success, right? It's not like the success that the Dodgers have had as of recent, it's special. I mean, that doesn't happen often in baseball, but they haven't won the big one. So now Dodger fans, it's like, this has been great and dandy. I don't think there is enjoying the journey. It's, can you just get us one?
And you know what? That's all of Mookie Betts is all about, getting that one. Because the past, I mean, before all this, I wasn't really looking forward to baseball season. The Dodgers are going to be in contention for the playoffs. They are going to be talked about as one of the World Series contenders. But it just didn't excite me because I see the same team going out there. And I'm going to see, in my head, if I see the same thing going out there, I'm going to expect the same results. Show me something different. The Dodgers haven't really shown me anything different the past couple years up until this. We got Mookie Betts and David Price, two completely new players, two players who weren't even in the NL, so it's gonna open a whole new world for both of them as they're both just, I feel they're both going to explode. I think Mookie Betts
and the
is going to have an
MVP-like
season.
Roster's already stacked. Roster's already stacked.
Yeah, we're not even talking about Cody
Justin
Bellinger.
Justin Turner and Bellinger and Muncy. And,
I'm just getting giddy thinking of all the possible lineups.
Curtis, what do you think? Is this one of those seasons where you'll pay more attention now because of Mookie Betts? Or, I was going to pay attention anyways. They won 106 games last year. They're supposed to be competing for a World Series. Or did it change because of Mookie Betts?
No, 100%. Because I'm more of a casual. I think we've had this conversation before. I'm more of a casual baseball and Dodger fan. So, you know, we got so used to them making it. And, you know, the first couple of times was really exciting. Hey, they're in the, you know, in their series, but they just don't get it done.
And they're heartbreaking losses.
Yeah. And and then first one, okay, we get it. But then another, and then, you know, getting bounced early last season is, for me, they need to win now for them to be exciting again. And I think this will do that.
Well, they went all in. That's not a, there's definitely not a question there. I will say that, you know, it does come down to, you can have the best roster, which they have arguably one of the best rosters in baseball. You can have all the experience, and what I'm talking about experience is a franchise that's been there for a couple years in a row and hasn't got over the hump, so they've tasted the defeat. You can have the best front office, which they arguably have the best front office. You can have all that. But when you get into the postseason, there's different elements that come to play. Who's going to be clutch? And we know there's been moments for the Dodgers where they needed that, either the bats or Kershaw to come through in a big moment. They haven't been clutch. So we can sit here now. They're not giving out, you know, World Series trophies in February, as we kind of joke around with the Lakers when they play the Clippers in a big game. We know that they're not Lakers aren't going to win an NBA championship for being the Clippers on January 20. You know, we throw out dates or whatever the case is.
And the biggest thing, I think, of all this that we just kind of glance over because we're excited that we get Mookie Betts is the fact that we didn't give up the farm for him. We didn't give up Gavin Lux.
Right?
We didn't give up Dustin May. Mm-hmm. We gave up Kenta Maeda, Jock Peterson, Alex Verdugo, and Ross Stripling.
And it also makes some of those offseason misses, the Jared Coles, that Andy Rendon, the Strasburg, it kind of allows, okay, those didn't happen, but this happened.
And I'm fine with that. I'm 100% fine with that. Bring me baseball season. Is it spring training yet?
We're getting close, actually. Pitchers and catchers are going to report soon. So what if let's say Betts doesn't stay with the Dodgers.
How dare you?
Let's just say that, hypothetically, right? Let's say he's going to get 400. What are they saying? Is contract potentially up to $400 million or something like that?
Yeah, around there, $400 to the $420 range, somewhere around there.
So this is my point. Even if he doesn't stay after this year, it's still 200% worth everything that you did. You know what I mean? Like, that's the point I'm making, is not only did you do what you did and give yourself a shot at a World Series and be the team everybody's got to go through, but on top of that, even if he did leave, it was worth the risk.
100%.
All right, Brad Turner from the LA Times coming up next. We'll talk some Lakers and some Clippers. Stay right here. This is 710 ESPN.